It overwhelms me sometimes when the children behave in certain ways. I just want to thank you, Phyllis, and those children who sing. Your choice of songs is just beautiful. And you children sing as to the Lord. You bring tears to my eyes when you sing about things that you have never seen, but you believe. And especially today, because that's the very message that God gave me to bring. Things that you have never seen, but that you believe. So thank you. It's been a glorious time so far. And excuse me for wiping tears. But you all know me anyway. And you know that I have a tender heart when it comes to children. I wouldn't cry for some of you at all, but children. When the pastor asked me if I would... the last time I talked, I told you that I'd be about 15, 20 minutes, and that if I was more than that, you had permission to leave. Well, this time you better not move, because I know I'm going to be more than 15 or 20 minutes. But I think this message is something that it won't be new to many of you. But I hope that there is something that is said that will cause you to rethink what you do believe and what you understand. Now, there are going to be some things in here that you'll probably have issues with, and that's good. It's probably because you have not paid attention to what I'm going to talk about in a long time. Thank you, Sam. I call this victory in Jesus. But I don't have any other reason for saying it except it's victory in Jesus. Amen. We have two major texts. The first one is Peter, 1 Peter, and the second one is in the book of James. Now, I find it interesting that I'm talking about this subject and using the text from 1 Peter, because all of you know Peter's position as an apostle. He was kind of rambunctious. He was a fisherman. He was not the eloquent, educated, erudite gentleman that you would think he would be. Yes. He was crude, mm-hmm. But he was a hard worker. Yes. And when he wrote this epistle, he revealed some things and dealt with issues that many people still deal with and still don't understand. He dealt with the basics of our Christianity. Yes. And concepts that many people still don't understand. He wrote it when the church was under great persecution from Rome, the first worldwide persecution of the church. And what he does is to tell us to be ready to suffer for Jesus. Suffering is throughout this text. But there's also hope. Suffering with hope. That could have been a good title too. But the part of the epistle that I want to focus on is chapter 5. It says, 1 Peter chapter 5, the elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. said to those elders, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those who entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Elders, examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. There's the victory in Jesus. There's the reward. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Why, Peter? God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Here we go. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Well, that's as far as I want to go with that. I want to focus on what Peter said when he said, the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I'm going to ask you now to do things like a child. I'm going to ask you to forget all the teaching and all the education you have. I'm going to ask you to forget all your worldly experiences and all the questions you've ever dealt with about reality. I'm going to ask you to forget that what you see is not real, but simply a manifestation of something that is in another world that is real. I'm going to ask you to focus on the supernatural, those things that exceed us in every way possible, in thought, in action, in duty. I'm going to ask you to think in terms of the invisible, things that we cannot see but are real. I'm asking you to think with me about the spirit world, because that is the world of the devil, Satan. And that's the world that Peter says the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If you know anything about a lion, and all I know is what I've seen in the movies and what I've read in books, they tell me that when the lion is getting ready to make his kill is when he gives his loudest roar. He tells us to be sober. Uh-huh. Now, I take that to mean to be intelligent and to believe in the supernatural powers that are all around us. Okay. He tells us to be vigilant, mm-hmm. that we have to be ready and to strive to do one thing, God's will.
Yes.
Not what we desire to do, but what we believe is God's will for us to do. Now, we say the devil, now, as if we're dealing with just one entity. No. In reality, he is just the leader of numerous demons. Yes. Yes. Bible tells us when he was thrown out of heaven, he drew in his train a third of the wicked angels. Now, in Sunday school, we are dealing with the book of Revelation, and we happen to be dealing with this particular chapter. And we talked about heaven being, Satan being thrown out of heaven, and angels being thrown with him. In Revelations chapter 12, verse 7, says this, a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
That's right.
Woe be to the earth. Now that's not in the scripture. But woe be to the earth. Because this devil is angry.
Yes, he is.
He has been moving all around, accusing us who are on the earth.
Right.
Accusing the brethren.
That's right.
Pointing out and making lies. He had been down to the earth before. He had roamed all around. We met him with Adam and Eve. Eve met him in the garden as a serpent. He had been on the earth when God called his men to him. He called his chief servants. We think they were the archangels, but the Bible doesn't say. It says he called them to him for a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan came, and he said, where you come from? Because Satan has always been, had always been, somebody who just didn't play by the rules.
That's right.
He wanted to be God.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you go to Isaiah, the 14th chapter. Isaiah says, how you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Satan wanted to be like God. He wanted to do on the north side of heaven what God did all over heaven.
All right.
He was a rebellious little boy that you had to spank a lot of times, that you had to put to bed without his dinner, that you had to do all kinds of things to him to make him mind. And still, he'd take the spanking. He'd go to bed without his dinner. He'd take all the chastisement, and he'd come right back and do it again. He was a bad boy. Wasn't like you either. You're a good boy. You get spanked, you don't do it anymore. But the devil wanted to be not like God. He wanted to be God. And so when he rebelled, Michael and his angels overcame them and tossed them out of heaven, and he no longer had a place in heaven. And the Bible tells us that when that happened, he drew a third of the heavenly angels who had followed him and rebelled against him. So be careful who you follow.
Amen.
Be careful who they follow. Now, he has got a lot of different names. The Bible calls him Beelzebub. They call him the tempter, the devil, the dragon, the serpent, Lucifer, son of the morning. And there are other names. But he's all of them. Jesus said in Luke 10:18 that I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've already told you what Isaiah said about him and what's written about him in the Revelations. Satan was cast to the earth, banned from the highest levels of heaven. And these demons, these angels that were cast with him, they followed him. So you had the big bad boy and all the little boys following him who wanted to be bad.
Okay.
They did the things that he said to do, and they didn't do what God said to do. They were rebellious.
Right.
Michael and his crew kicked them out of heaven. Now, what's so bad about these demons? The bad thing about them is that they follow the dictates of their leader. And Satan, Peter said, wants to devour us.
Yes.
Like a lion. I don't know if you've been to the zoo during feeding time to see how a lion, when they throw him the big pieces and the big pieces of flesh, how they rip it up and gulp it down.
Yes.
Satan wants us that way. And how does he get us that way? By getting us to do contrary to the will of God.
All right.
That's all we have to do, and he's got us.
All right.
Contrary to the will of God, doing those things that we believe are wrong in the sight of God.
Jesus.
The best of us is not immune to that. Ask Eddie Long and what he's going through right now. The holiest of us is not immune to it. Ask the Catholic priests who are going through things now. And all the others of us that I don't know about. Satan is successful when we allow him to use us.
That's right.
It is our choice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't mean we go and say, well, I'm going to choose to let Satan use me today. That's not the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
He is more cunning than that.
Yes, he is.
Yes. We are on our guard because the Bible has told us how to behave. But he has so many devices available to him. We sum up everything as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Satan has organized his demons just like God has organized his angels. And the Bible tells us that God has archangels. And those archangels have other angels that are lower and follow them. We call them, the Bible calls them common angels. I have the references to all of this. And I said to Harry, when I called these out, he said, call them out, I'll put them up. I don't want to call all of them out. But anything that I say about these demons and Satan and anything else that I don't give you the reference to and you want it, come up to me afterwards. I'll give it to you. I have it here. Satan uses these demons to do his will.
Okay.
They have access only when we permit them to have access. They can't read our minds. God is the only one who has the power to know our thoughts. Satan responds to when our thoughts have become behavior, our actions. That's when Satan gets an indication that he can stalk us and begin to try to devour us. Our behavior. We have to, what did Pastor say last week? He said, we have our thoughts become behavior, and our behavior creates our character. Satan gets us at the behavior point. When he sees you do one thing that is contrary to the will of God, those demons hone in on you. And they don't work independently like one. They have one who we call a controlling spirit. Mm-hmm. And that controlling spirit pulls a whole lot of others with them to do that thing that they want to do. They fight each other sometimes. But when it comes to us, they never fight each other. They all agree and join in to get us to do the wrong thing. Listen to some of these and see if you are affected by any of them. One, I'll call the controlling spirit first. Bitterness. The spirits that usually follow this controlling spirit are envy, jealousy, resentment, unforgiveness, animosity, and lying. I'm not going to ask you if you're guilty. Have you ever given any of these access? Have you ever caught yourself afterwards and say, for instance, oh, it was only a white lie, a little white lie? Remember, they have access only when we permit them to have access. Resentment. We allow that to affect our behavior towards each other. Jealousy. Another controlling spirit, pride. Self-pride. I did it. Arrogance follows. Love of self. Me above. I can do it better than anybody. And I was teasing the other day. Somebody was talking about my legs and my shorts. And I said something like, if you got it, flaunt it. Sometimes Satan heard that thing. And those demons zeroed right in and wanted to know if there was anything that they could do to get me to violate the will of God. Oh, they are all around us. It's a third of the heavenly host of angels that were sent down, kicked out. Part of them have been locked underground for God's use, but the others are available to Satan. That's why I ask you to look past what we can see as reality. Think like a child. A child can see this reality so much faster than we adults because our minds have been clouded with so many years of experiencing things. And we become skeptical about anything. We used to have that thing from Western State, Missouri. Show me. I've got to see it before I believe it. Some people even say, I've got to feel it before I'll believe it. Right? Well, in the age of digital photography, I've learned that you don't even believe what you see. Amen. Another controlling spirit is anger. Yes, ma'am. Another controlling spirit is anger. And along with anger comes such spirits as cruelty, rage, wickedness, malice, hatred. They all come as a group after you. When you have done something that they identify as contrary to the will of God, they focus and they move toward you. And any one of them that you give access will come on in and help to influence your behavior, all contrary to the will of God. As long as you're doing things contrary to the will of God, they will feed whatever it takes to keep you to continue. Or they will give you riches. They will give you all kinds of good feelings. They will give you all kinds of worldly success because they want to keep you doing what you're doing as long as it's contrary to the will of God. And you say, oh, they can't give me all that. Oh, Satan is an archangel. He has the power to do a lot of things. He can't create anything because he's not a creator, but he can imitate anything that God has created and make us believe that it's the reality. Gossip. Filthy language, revenge, ignorance, error, quarrels, arguments, guile, division, confusion, distractions, all spiritual demons that are designed to do the work of their master, Satan. And who is their victim? Believers. They don't have to be concerned about the non-believer. The non-believer doesn't believe in Christ Jesus, so they don't even care about him. They got him. But those of us who have made the confession, been baptized, that's who they're after. In Galatians 5:22 and 23, you get some of the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, you know them. Well, when you get good, you know Satan's going to come with something bad, evil, to counteract it. If joy were left alone and we could pursue joy, Satan would hate it. So what does he do? He creates something that is counter. Look at, this is Rudy. This is in the Bible. The fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness and love. That's the Bible. Rudy. The demon passion that seeks to counter it. Unbelief. Atheism. Ill will, bitterness, hatred, malice, envy. They all operate contrary to love and faithfulness. Peace and joy are the fruit of the Spirit. But Satan says fear, sorrow, and anxiety are what I will use to counter peace and joy. I'll disturb your peace with sorrow. I will disturb your joy by putting fear in you and making you anxious. How many times have you said, oh, I just feel anxious about something? You say, what do you feel anxious about? I don't know. I just feel anxious about things. Tell you how to get rid of that in a second. I said, not the Bible, Rudy, all good words and actions are the fruit of the Spirit. Evil words and actions are the fruit of evil. That's Rudy. That's not the Bible. That's my interpretation of the Bible. But I want you to know that that's me, but not. But Praise God, victory in Jesus. We have power over the demons.
Yes.
We have power over the demons. Yes. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. It's written this way. Jesus came and spoke to all of them, saying, he's talking to his disciples, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.
Yes.
Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. All authority has been given to me.
Yes.
That's the way he said it in Matthew.
Yes.
In Mark, the 16th chapter, 17 and 18th verse, he said, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. Got to get it. In my name, not your name.
Yes.
In my name, Jesus' name. They will cast out demons.
Yes.
They will speak with new tongues.
Yes.
They will take up servants. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Amen. Praise God.
And then if that wasn't enough, Luke heard the same thing. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
Praise God.
Luke 10:19 says, behold, this is Jesus speaking.
Yes.
I give you the authority to trample on the on serpents and scorpions,
yes,
and all over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So, the power has been given to us.
Yes.
So, how do we use that power to overcome the demonic attacks? Okay. Well, in James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8.
Jesus.
James says, therefore, submit to God. You know it, don't you, Bruce? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Yes.
Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded.
Jesus.
I've heard preachers read that scripture and preach that, and I've always said, go a little further, preacher. Tell me how to submit to God. Well, if you're saying that, I'm going to share with you how to submit to God. How to submit to God. First, through prayer and supplication. Okay? You have to be born again first before you can pray and receive the power. To use the power in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Then you have to pray. Luke says men always ought to pray and not lose heart. So we got to pray. Timothy tells us that, 2 Timothy, he says, flee all your youthful lust.
That's right.
And pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. And those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Yes. Yes.
So you've got to, when you submit to God through prayer and supplication, being born again and praying. Then you have to stand fast. Once you commit to God, you have to stand fast in the Lord. You can't be fearful. You can't be shaken. You have to stand fast in the Lord. You have to do all things without complaining and disputing with one another. You have to choose to be faithful to God through Christ Jesus. We have to choose. See, the choice is always ours. Satan can make us do nothing. Except we choose to do it.
All right.
and he will do everything in his power to make the circumstances beautiful enough to you that he will entice you to do against God's will what you want to do. It's what we want to do. You do that, he's got you. Learn God's ways. It's another way you submit to God. Learn God's ways and order your life according to his word. And how do you do that? You have to read, study the Bible. You have to exercise your right to study the Bible. You have to study with someone or some group. You can't just read it by yourself and understand it all. The Holy Spirit will go but so far, because it says in the scripture that iron sharpens iron. Yes. And it wouldn't say that if it didn't mean that you needed the fellowship of someone else to raise you to another level of understanding.
Amen. Amen.
Sunday school classes over here. Bible studies over there. Something else is where you study the word. But you've got to learn. You've got to learn the word of God in order to live the word of God. Amen. You don't know what you're living if you don't know the word of God.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
You've got to resist the devil. Use the power over the demons that's given to us by Jesus Christ. You've got to speak out loud to these demons. Remember when the woman who had the soothsayer was using the woman with the demons, and she was following Paul all around? Paul turned around and says, "In the name of Jesus, come out of her." We can't be sweet with these demons. We can't say, "Oh Lord, please make these demons come away from me. Make them leave me alone." Speak in the name of Jesus with the authority that he's given you. And demon, in the name of Jesus, I bind you and you leave this place now.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
You do it that way, and they'll say, "Oh, I'm dealing with somebody who knows the power that they have over me."
All right. Authority.
All that means is I'll have to be more cunning when I come at her. Because they're going to come. Don't think they're going to, just because you know how to speak out loud to them and put them in their place, it means the next time I'll come at you, you may not even realize I'm there until you have decided to let me in. There's a book that my wife had, and she tried to get me to read it, called Pigs in the Parlor. I think it was a pretty popular book a few years ago, all about demons that we inadvertently allow into our presence, and they have become so familiar to us that we simply allow them in our lives and we've made our peace with them.
Amen.
And they're pigs in your parlor. Yeah. Command them in the name of Jesus. They'll go. And then another thing that you do as you resist the devil, you oppose the evil suggestions that the enemy will make to you.
Yes.
When he suggests something, "Get thee behind me, Satan." I know that's wrong, and you know that's wrong, so don't even come to me with it. But you have got to want to do the will of God.
Yes.
That's the first thing.
Yes.
We have got to want to do the will of God. And if you feel that the demons are more than you can deal with, cry out to strong people for strength.
Amen.
Stir up the gift of God that's in you. Come to somebody, come to your brother or sister and say, "Hey, listen, man, I'm being bombarded with these kinds of temptations. I'm getting invitations to go and to do these kinds of things with these women. I'm getting invitations to do these kinds of things with men and boys. I'm getting invitations to come to places late at night. I'm getting invitations. I've turned on my TV channel, and there it was. The pornography was right there. And I didn't have the strength to turn it off or to turn away from it. I just sat and looked. No. Come to a strong brother or sister in Christ and say, this is where I am and this is what's happening to me. I don't like it. I don't want to do it anymore. Help me. Jesus. That's what we are here for. Yes. One another.
Yes.
Don't think that the... And it has nothing to do with how much you know about the Lord or how holy you are or how righteous you are. Satan doesn't care about that. All he cares about is, can I get you at a moment of weakness where you will decide to let me do what I want to do with you? Mm. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. That's all I can say about that. Then James tells us to draw near to God. Now, do you draw near to God? You can try to be holy because God is holy.
Yes.
Got to let the mind which is in Christ Jesus be in you.
Yes.
You got to walk as Christ walked.
Yes.
You got to keep your conscience void of offense towards God and man. You got to remain in a posture of victory. Triumph. I'm always going to do what God has for me to do. I will not, I'm not talking about me, I mean, this is the position we have to take. I'm just as weak as the next one, except for the word of God. I got something here that you heard so many times, and I almost don't want to say it, but I guess I'm going to say it because I've heard it so many times. Make God first in your life. How many times have you heard that? Yeah, I heard it. I know it's the thing for me to do, but right now I got to get a job and got to earn some more money because I want to go on this big vacation or want this new car, and I'll do God's thing. You know, it'll be that when I get ready for it. Yeah. Make God first in your life.
Amen.
Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good work and glorify God in heaven. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward. Accept the reward right now that you get. And look to God for everything. Look nowhere else. Look to God for everything. My needs are great. They are overwhelming me. But I don't look to any man as the source. I look to God for everything. And if he is the God that he says he is, he will allow me to come nearer to him. And he will give me what he wants me to have. And then the last thing I'm going to deal with is this one. And how to deal with these demons. Do good. That's so simple. Do good. Make choices not to do what your parents have taught you are wrong. You know what's wrong. You children are growing. You sing a song that says, I'm growing, I'm learning. And as you grow and learn, and those of us who are older, we're growing and learning too still. We know what's good, and we know what's not good. Choose to do what is good all the time. Difficult? No. You get curious. I'll try this once. You'll try it once and it was all right to you, and, you know, it paid off, and I'm not going to do that anymore because I know that was wrong. You think the demon has forgotten? No. The demon knows exactly how he got you to allow him into your life. And before you know it, he's going to be knocking on the door again. And if you aren't careful, he'll come in. I know you. We have a relationship. He's got you. And this time, he's going to bring in a bunch of his buddies. He's going to bring in envy and pride, malice, guile. And before long, you'll be walking around all kinds of sin, all kinds of sarcastic things, and doing all kinds of disrespectful things. And somebody will have to grab you and say, wait a minute, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And they'll have to shake you back into reality and have to go before God and say, let's confess this sin in the name of Jesus. And thank God, he said, when we confess our sins, he'll be faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So do good. And how do we, well, I'm sure there's three or four ways I'll show you. Show compassion and love. Well, I ain't going to show no compassion and love to her or him because I don't like him or her. I don't like what they said last week or don't like what they did. So I'll save my love and compassion. I'll let them earn my love and compassion. First thing, it's not your love. It's not your compassion. We've been talking about the demons. We haven't been talking about the angels. The children sang about the angels. That's another sermon. Show compassion and love. Be tender-hearted and courteous. Jesus, if I can say nothing else, be courteous one to another. Listen to what is spoken. Don't sit and wait for your turn to talk and let what is being said just go by you. And then you speak, you're speaking to something that's already gone. Be courteous and listen. It may change what you thought you wanted to say. And what you thought you wanted to say may be received and a blessing to somebody. Be followers of what is good, not returning evil for evil. And then the last thing I'll leave you with. No, it's not, because I got another thing. In 20 minutes yet, is it, Mike? Yeah. Okay. All right. 20 minutes. Okay. Here we go. I say this one because some of you are in a position where you can do it, and some of you know people who need it. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Visit the sick. Shelter the homeless. And visit the prisoner. And this is what I've added. As a result of my meeting yesterday, speak kindly one to another. Amen. Regard others more highly than yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself.